pandemic got us into a reflective space and made us look inward to see what we can do for the world at large. As a self-expression coach, I became a catalyst for women and started Vani, a one-on-one coaching program for women on finding their voice, to speak up, to be visible. As a storyteller, I spotted there were many ordinary people amongst us leading extraordinary lives, making a difference to the world, and they needed to be heard. Thus was born You and I with Rashmi Shetty, where amazing personal journeys with their uniqueness and individuality are showcased. A reaffirmation of the fact, open your eyes wider, the world is far more beautiful when we acknowledge the presence of both you and I. Our guest today is Dr. Preeti Hiremath, who was one of the first few women general surgeons who did her master's in general surgery from the JN Medical College in Belgaum, Karnataka. A consultant general and laparoscopic surgeon at Santosh Hospital, Bhagwan Mahavir Jain Hospital, and an associate professor in the Malaysian Medical College, she is also a DNB teacher. She has performed more than 2,500 laparoscopic tubectomies, that is, the family planning operation in FPAI. Married to a businessman, Dr. Preeti is a mother of two, a daughter who's doing her post-graduation in emergency medicine in the UK, and her son is an advocate and practicing in the High Court. She had a childhood full of extracurricular activities that made her into an exponent of Bharatanatyam, a university blue in badminton, and a bronze medalist at the state-level swimming championship. Fond of traveling, she now advocates a lifestyle with yoga, pranayama, and meditation for a happy and healthy life. Listen in as Dr. Preeti shares her journey as one of the first few women general surgeons in Karnataka, why she chose the road less traveled, her philosophies of life, and her thoughts on spirituality. Hi, Dr. Preeti Hiremath. Such a pleasure seeing you after a decade now. And it's amazing to see you're just the same. Calm, composed, and welcome to You and I with Rashmi Shetty.
Hi, Rashmi. Same feeling here, because it was out of the blue you called me and it was such a pleasant surprise that we got connected after a decade. Slowly getting used to this new technology where you're seeing but not in person. So that face-to-face makes a lot of difference, I think. The younger generation probably doesn't mind it, but we are older people who are not very tech-savvy. We like to be in person always.
That is really true. And talking about generation, now I'm going to go to your younger version and ask what little Preeti was all about. Was it your aspiration to be a doctor all along? What was little Preeti to the Dr. Preeti Hiremath that the world knows you today as?
I was a third child for my parents. My father was retired as a Karnataka College principal. My mother also did part-time job there and looked after children very well. Like the childhood, there have been no worries at all. All through, I've been having a very comfortable life and very carefree type of life. Dharwad is my native. So that time also, my mom gave me all the things what present-day kids don't get. Like I was into swimming, I was into badminton, oil painting, then classical dancing, everything. I definitely agree that those days I didn't like to do many things. Probably because during holidays when my other cousins would be here and I had to get ready and go for the classes, I wouldn't like. But now I feel, I was new to Bangalore after marriage, I came here. And because of these fine arts or badminton, whatever I learned, I could make a friend circle here. Mm. So I'm not alone in this new city also.
Okay.
Badminton, my best friends are from badminton. So okay. I think everything is helpful when you learn it.
We never know why we learn it.
And yes, life has a reason. Yeah, it will be helpful some way or the other.
Yeah, but were you always aspirational to be a doctor? Was medicine something which you always wanted to do?
I was not very particular about medicine. There's a story to it. Like my mom had got medical seat in Grand Medical College, Bombay.
Oh,
And
okay.
the day she had to leave for Bombay, my father came down. I mean, my father's parents came down and they wanted the engagement to be done then.
Oh.
So she missed the train. So my father always felt guilty about that. And I was not very keen on physics. Physics was not my cup of tea. So biology was easy because you see everything and you learn. Whereas physics, you have to imagine everything. You have to imagine the waves, sound wave, light wave, whatever it is. You can't see them, you have to imagine. Whereas biology, you see everything there. So probably I liked biology and my father's guilt, he wanted me to do medicine. And I was not very particular about anything. So I took up medicine. That's how I landed up in medicine.
Yeah, but medicine is like a lot of study, right, Preeti? And or was it interesting because biology was interesting to you, the human anatomy was interesting, so many other subjects that you had to learn. There's so much to learn in medicine. How did you cope with all of it? Was it like a breeze? Were
A
you a brilliant student?
very tough course, I definitely agree. But I like I said, I took it that day, I lived for that day.
Oh,
So,
okay.
not very particular about strong likes and dislikes, I didn't have. So, it was easy to cope up with that.
You seem to be very straight and simple with your answers. No
Yes,
huge
yes.
essay.
I said, no, my life also has been like that. I've never attached too much importance to anything. Live for that moment. Be happy. My father would always say, keep the upper chamber empty and be happy.
What a beautiful philosophy to follow. But now I'm curious. Keep the upper chamber empty. And once you finished your MBBS, how did you move on? Because you are one of the few women general surgeons. Generally, women means you move into gynecology. How did you choose surgery when at the time there were not too many women surgeons? And did you face any kind of gender bias in your entire study of surgery?
So I took up surgery because it was very challenging. Same here, the same logic applied here also. Like physics was where you don't see anything. Same as medicine, where it is trial and error of giving tablets. You don't see the any reaction is only by the symptoms, but you don't actually see what reaction is happening there. Whereas surgery, you see them macroscopically, what is happening, what you are doing. And it was more a daring type of thing. Second was like during when I was doing internship, ladies with private part problems who would hide themselves because they can't show it to somebody. 50, this is about 40 years ago, 40, 45 years ago, you can say. So they would come only when they were terminally ill. And when they were being examined in the wards, general ward, there was no proper cover for them. All the men would be standing around. And it is really hard to, for me also, if I am on the other side of the table, I also will avoid showing it to me. They say like you should not hide anything from a doctor, but humanly, it's not easy to digest. It's quite difficult. So that's when I thought I should take up surgery. Though there was little opposition from my father and initially and his friends who were advising him, but I said no, I'm taking surgery. That if at all I'd go for further studies, take the trouble of studying, burning my youth, I'll go for surgery.
Wow, I like that burning my youth rebel attitude. But surgery, were there a lot of women there? Because women normally get into gynecology, but
Yes.
general surgery is not a place where you see a lot of women.
Yeah.
How did you handle yourself in such a space?
There was a classmate of mine who also joined along with me. So we had good company there in the wards. And HOD was, we were in HOD's unit. So we were really pampered. We got to do more cases than the men who were around me.
So looking back now on those initial years, normally even the patients feel safe with men than with women. So how did you cope with that bias?
When I started my practice first, I was wearing chudidars and going to hospital. And slowly, one by one, I started realizing patients would ask, Neeve Martira operation, no? Is it you who are going to operate? The dress makes a difference. So they would feel I'm still young, not very confident. They can't have a good confidence in me to go under the knife. So, but see how it's just a mental block. They go for surgery to gynecologist, but the same thing for other than cesarean section or some other gynec surgery, other surgeries, they don't want to go to a lady surgeon.
Yeah.
So I slowly shifted to wearing saris. So that made a lot of difference.
Okay.
They said I'm more mature to be relied upon.
Okay, so the dress made so much of a difference. But yeah. for you, Preeti, personally, when you were on that journey, since you had a classmate of yours also, but still you are less in number compared to the other classmates.
My classmate, she went off to UK afterwards.
Okay.
So she's there in UK. So I'm here, I was here alone. And there was one more senior surgeon in Bangalore, much senior to me. Mm-hmm. So probably I was the second or third in Bangalore or Karnataka as a lady surgeon.
Okay.
Initially, it was a little frustrating in the sense you would see problems which are related to only the bottom or the breast cases like that. Mm-hmm. But slowly it picked up. So once you gain the confidence of the patients, they'll come to you.
So how did you keep yourself motivated? What did you tell yourself to keep going on? Because sometimes it's, like you said, it's frustrating. It's irritating. Yeah. Like, did I take the right decision? Should I have listened to my parents? What kept you going?
I never looked back on that. I was very happy being a doctor. Like, I would say the people will come. That I'm a very patient person. Like I said, straightforward and very patient. Don't worry. And when your wants are less and your passion is there, you'll always wait without any regrets. Same time, I had got married after MS. So the kids, immediately, like I was already old, 28, 29 when I got married. So I wanted to complete the family. No, as a doctor, I didn't want to have children after 30 where the complications are more.
So
that kept me busy. So I had enough time to bring up my children and do the practice also.
Okay. So you balanced it out very well. Life helped you also balance it out.
Yeah.
But now looking back, Dr. Preeti, when you see, because for me, that is a road that very few women take, which is a risk factor also.
Yeah.
But your intent was very pure. When you saw during your house surgery that women patients had this problem, and therefore the intention was very clear to you. Maybe somewhere that was the reason how you kept yourself together. What would you tell people, not only in medicine, but in any field, that when intent is pure, life doesn't immediately open all the gates for you? How do you keep yourself together? Yes, family is there, children are there. But, you know, there are moments when you are with yourself. How do you get yourself together? Because crumbling is the easiest thing that happens. How do you keep yourself together?
When you do a professional course or anything, it's your earning matters a lot.
Yeah.
So especially for men.
Hmm.
Here, I was other half of the family. So probably I could not, I could forego my earnings.
Hmm.
And I am the type who will live in 1,000 rupees or lakh rupees also. Hmm. I'm very content in what I always keep telling my juniors, and my professor would always say, when you start practicing, don't run behind money. You do your job, money will follow you. And the other thing I would tell was, if you buy a fan and if you still want to long for an AC, you'll never enjoy the fan, comfort of the fan.
Yes.
So be comfortable in whatever you have. Whatever you can afford, that's it. That is for everybody, not only my profession. I keep telling everybody that. So that time my kids will say, Ma, your lecture enough.
Simple but very practical advice, and I think that is where the challenge is.
Today, when you long too much, you must have, there's a thin line between aspiration and wants.
Hmm.
So aspiration is with passion you pursue, wants is with greed you try to fulfill.
Okay, and how do you differentiate the two? Like, how do you know it's passion and not greed?
That's when there are no regrets. Like, you're not able to buy something what you want today, or you buy it tomorrow. That doesn't matter. Be happy with what you're having today and then live for today.
Oh, okay. Okay. And as life progressed and you started getting your patients, now when you're looking back and you're connecting all those dots,
What kept you on in saying that, Preeti, what you're doing is the right thing? Just passion, pure passion. That's it.
Pure passion. I think the basic nature of a person matters a lot.
Okay.
So I wanted to enjoy family life. I wanted to see the kids being brought up. See, I can do, advantage of medicine is you can do practice anytime during your life.
Yes.
Whereas for other professions, that gap between two jobs matters a lot.
Mm-hmm.
For us, that is not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing the first child's first smile, first cry, I mean, the way first step they take, that you will not get it again. So probably that's how I could manage in the initial. So I started the practice when the kids were small, when they were just born, maybe 6 months old, my daughter was, I started the practice. So I had enough time. Of course, there was a good support from my parents and my husband.
Mm-hmm.
That also matters. It's all my stars. So come till this far now, happily.
Yeah. And you know, Dr. Preeti, when people talk about finesse in work, they say it should be like the surgeon's cut. So it's that precise, that perfect that it needs to be. Mm-hmm. Now, in the Gita, there is this concept of detached attachment. Now, there could be challenges. When you're such an involved mother also, there could have been challenges. Do you remember any challenge where your emotional state, because of some challenge back home, and you having to do a very important surgery, how do you balance yourself? Because you have to be very precise at that point, and emotions do take over.
That controversy many times arises at home, in the sense like if child is not well, but suddenly you can't cancel your schedule unless it's a dire emergency. So that time leaving the child when you go, your guilt is there. But you always feel, oh, my husband is there, my mother is there to look after, and child is resting now. Whereas the patient's there, I'm the only one who, I mean, I have to be there with them. So that way I would leave and go, though the guilt would be there. My husband or my parents wouldn't like it, or the child would miss me definitely that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because mother's care is required. The moment, like usually what happens, the men after they finish their work, they sit there after surgery, chat for some time, have a cup of tea, just spend time there in the hospital and go. Whereas I would just immediately rush back home. So bare minimum what is required, you're out of the house for the profession and you're back home looking after. So your guilt is not there.
Okay. This is a very nice way that you say on building this thing. So for young women who are completely confused in those points of their career, because like Indra Nooyi famously said, the biological clock and the career clock parallelly move.
They run, yes.
And therefore, when this parallel boats have to be balanced, that deft handling of both these boats and balancing on both these boats becomes a challenge. So how does a woman keep herself together to make sure, of course, you can't be perfect all the time. Balance will not be equal all the time. So what are some of the factors that help you handle those moments, especially when you have to balance both the boats?
See, like I said, this, like you only said, this is the path less taken by ladies those days. Now many surgeons are there. Definitely there are many. So I was confident patient will come to me. If I'm not available today, tomorrow they'll come to me.
Okay.
So that advantage was there. Upper hand I had on that. Mm-hmm. And always working hours, most of the days would be when my kids go to school. So after everything is done at home, I would go and then come back by lunchtime or by 4 o'clock. And I never did evening practice because that was the time morning, everybody is busy getting ready and going. Mm-hmm. All I had to do was pack their lunch or see that their books and uniforms, everything are set right. Whereas evening when they would be at home, I had to spend quality time with them.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the homework, but take them for outings or park, playing, extracurricular activities. So that evening, what I kept myself free. Most of them would say, oh, evening practice is more actually, people can come to you better. I mean, more number of people can come. I said, no, evening is for family. So that was the deadline I had drawn. Of course, in this, emergencies would I would take.
That is once in a way, even the kids will accept that.
And when you say no to something, it always comes with a caveat that you could also lose out on something when you're saying no to it. So what is it that as women we should remember when we are risking to take a decision so strong that this is going to be family time, not at the cost of my family? Then in that case, we are definitely going to lose some opportunity, some more money coming in. How do you draw that balance in your headspace?
I was not very pushy as such from the beginning. Okay. So whatever was on my plate, I just took it. Like MS was the ultimate that I wanted to achieve, and that's it. And a good practice and serve women, help the women patients.
Mm-hmm.
So like I didn't have aspirations of becoming, growing too much in my career. That's how it balanced. If you are too aspirant, then you lose out on your family or the career. Any one of them, you have to forego to some extent.
Yes.
As a lady, like biologically, like what you said, nature has given us some duties. So you have to abide by that also.
You make it sound so simple now.
Yeah, what you're saying. Is it becoming a gyan lesson or?
No, because you're making it sound all very simple now in hindsight. But I'm sure when you went through those moments, they must have been difficult for you. So, now you're completely detached. Your kids are big. You have crossed all those challenges.
But I think next to hard work. I was lucky enough to get two senior colleagues. Like we were together, operating together and working together. We had a private practice, but the major surgeries we would do together.
Mm-hmm.
So those days it would be sometimes the major surgeries, like 3 hours, 4 hours would be posted at 6 a.m.
Oh, okay.
So I would get up at 4, finish off cooking. And my daughter was hell-bent on having long hair. So she would get up by 6 o'clock, plait her hair, everything, and then go. And by end of the day, after they finish everything, again, get ready for the next day. Mm-hmm. But see, when that's what I'm saying, when good support, whether they help or no, when support is there, that matters a lot.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. A support system definitely should be there.
Matters a lot. And your passion, you want to do it, you want to achieve. So you never think of odd hours or you never feel tired. Hard work and passion. That's it.
Okay. And any story that you can recall of a patient which gave you the satisfaction and gratitude that you're doing what you're doing, you chose, like I said, a road less taken, and some, you thank yourself for it.
Some patients whom I cannot forget.
Yeah.
So there's one old lady who came with cancer of the breast. She had 4 sons and she really craved for a daughter. She was in her 60s. And I don't know, she got connected to me. So she started treating me like a daughter. She would call me home. And so all her sons would say, you've got not only a doctor, you've got a daughter. Mm-hmm. So I cannot forget that patient.
Mm-hmm.
And another old couple, 70 plus, both of them, they didn't have children. Husband came for a surgery and I managed them quite well. Not very well to do, but end of everything, both couple at that age, I was in my late 40s or early 40s, I think. They fell at my feet. It was so embarrassing that moment. Really, the tears rolled down my... So that is the greatest gratitude.
Yeah.
Blessing thought you got for them. Got from them. So that keeps you going further stronger. The medical practice has become, you are also in media, you must be reading about how bad the allopathy doctors are being treated nowadays.
Yeah.
But still, these type of patients' expressions keeps us going strong,
yes,
irrespective of what the society says.
True, very, very true. And was there any story that you can recall now? Remember that what inspired you to become a surgeon, where you actually could perform it and the lady really thanked you for being there for her?
Nothing in particular any patient like.
Hmm.
But there are quite a few patients who came for their bottom problems. See, women have a lot of piles and those problems because of the birthing, the multiple pregnancies what they have.
Yeah.
And usually olden days houses would have only one restroom. So the men and the kids would leave the house And that's why the priority is given to them to use the restroom.
Yeah.
Whereas she is busy with her work, helping them, and she goes when the natural call is not, nature's call is not there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when they land up with a lot of those problems.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of those patients come.
Mm.
So they feel shy to show it to a male doctor, so they postpone, and it comes to a stage when they cannot live with manage it anymore.
Mm.
They come that time.
Mm.
So once they get the relief, they're so relieved, and they start getting spreading their advertising for you. You need not do anything. And in fact, they get their male members of the family. See, that's when you feel you have done your job well. Not only the women who would have come to you otherwise also because of the region what they're having problem with,
mm-hmm.
they get their male members. That shows the extent of confidence they've had in you and the satisfaction they've got from you.
That's so true, because medicine as a profession and being a doctor as a professional is more an experience. It's like only after I've experienced you can I know what kind of a doctor you are. However yeah. nicely you speak, there is yeah. something magical about your fingers that make me trust you completely when I give myself to you.
Yeah.
So for aspiring surgeons, men or women apart, I'm sure today you are a mentor for a lot of them. What are some typical advices you give for aspiring surgeons especially?
There's nothing next to having a good knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
They should be... like we say, what the brain does not know, the eyes will not see. So you have to study well. Your theoretical knowledge should be good and try applying it to the patients practically. And you have to be gentle irrespective of how cranky the patient is. You have to keep yourself calm and composed always. There are some instances where you have to raise your voice to assert yours, make yourself very assertive. That they should be following this. That's all I can tell them.
Yeah, so assertion is very important for a surgeon as well. Okay, now since you're anyway in this reflective space, how very important is spirituality in the life of a medical doctor?
All this time, I think I've been telling about that only.
we specifically touch it. That's why this specific question. How important is spirituality?
Spirituality keeps you going strong. I don't know whether there's God or no, but there is some supernatural power.
Mm-hmm.
What we call, by what name he's called, he or she, that I don't know, that power is called. Not only that, that builds your inner strength.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you want to meditate, if you sit quietly with eyes closed, 1,000 thoughts will come to your mind. But you have to focus on something.
Yeah.
That helps.
Mm.
Even whether you're atheist or no, just for your selfish motto, you can think of him and then meditate.
Yeah.
Him or her, the supernatural God, what we call. And that gives a lot of positive energy. In fact, now there are quite a few studies done in US. Patients for whom the relatives prayed more, they did better. And, you know, when it comes from West, everybody accepts it in India very early.
True.
And the Gayatri Mantra is the best.
Mm.
That calls, that gives more than a lakh but good waves, positive waves, okay. compared to all the mantras in the world.
Okay. Okay.
So definitely spirituality will always help you.
Okay. Now, anyway, you're in this space. So we'll go back 2.5-3 years. When COVID hit, everyone went into a pause mode. There were many lessons we didn't even pay attention to about life and living that came up. Even this podcast was born during the COVID times. So when we are talking about COVID, we understood the power of pause, the need for a pause. Everyone was on a treadmill. All they had to do was just switch off the button. They didn't even realize that. So all of us went into reflective spaces and took our life lessons. What were your lessons from COVID, Dr. Pri?
You want me to be very frank with this?
Please, please, as frank as possible.
So from personal perspective, my daughters and son both were in UK studying.
Mm-hmm.
So only my husband and myself at home. This was the first time, and surgeons were told not to operate unless it's a dire emergency. So the first 1 month was like newly married type for me. I've never stayed 24 hours bar 7 or bar, at home like that, cooking fresh food and eating, always morning cooked, the whole day heat and eat. So I somehow enjoyed it. But end of a month or so, maybe 15 days or 20 days, then you start feeling that this is not my cup of tea. Not happy with just being at home like this. So first, they opened the lockdown. If I remember, May 3rd, they said they would be opening the lockdown. But again, it got postponed. But I said, nothing doing. I am going. So I started going to the hospital. With that, we both were, we had drawn a line in the house. He was on one half and I was in the other half. It was difficult times, but like how a soldier faces a bullet, knowingly that he's going to get, he may die any moment. He may be shot dead any moment. This is somewhere, something like that only, that Josh, you get that Josh. You can't be sitting home because people may be needing you. So that keeps us going.
And for you, as an individual, was there any lesson that came through? Because you are a very, obviously, you are a very practical person, spiritual person. And for a lot of us, it was the fickleness of life. And it, life and death were just separated by a breath. And that's all it was, is what came as the truth for us. Nature showed us who's the boss. And all of us in nature thrived. So for you as an individual, was there any takeaway from COVID times with the reflection and seeing people and their attitude around you?
You must have read so many news you would have followed. People who stayed at home also got it.
Yes.
I mean, there are some families where the grandparents were fine, the younger generation died. Yeah. That shows a discipline in your life. Just today you start exercising, you'll not be healthy. Throughout your life, you have to have a disciplined life. Then your inner strength is good. So when you're strong, even the COVID, even if it hits you, it will not be very serious. That's one thing I could make out like.
Okay.
And when you're very positively taking care and going to the hospital, nothing will happen. That positive attitude should be there. If fearfully, if with a lot of fear, if you take a step, you'll definitely fall.
Yes. And I think that is so true for life as well, no? Fearful steps, especially when you're taking a risk or you're doing something different. That's so true. So Dr. Preeti, just before we move into your life lessons, are there any tips that you would like to give us as far as health is concerned?
Everybody must be realizing there are a lot of increase in the incidence of cancer, diabetes at a very young age. Even we see them on daily basis, cancer, diabetes, very young age, they are stressed out life pattern, everything. So it is the life, most of these are lifestyle diseases. Diabetes, hypertension, or we call them as psychosomatic disorders. In the sense, you have some stress, your body is stiff, you have pains and aches and pains in some muscle part. One day it's in the arm, one day it's in the leg, one day it's in the back. So these are psychosomatic diseases. So basically, there are some things we can change, some things we cannot. Like whatever food, however good food you're trying to have, like homemade food, organic and all that, blah, blah, what they talk about. So some the amount of chemical that is there in the air we breathe, the food we eat, that cannot be changed. It's not in our hands. So what is in our hands is to have a good health. So if you can fight back, so if your army is good, you can fight any enemy. So you need to be very strong. To be strong, like I said, you need to have a very disciplined life, especially your food habits, your sleep timing. See, person who is working in a BPO for a US company, the whole night they're working. Of course, the body goes through a lot of wear and tear in that. That cannot be changed. But during daytime, what they do, just the sleep, or they have something like some exercise, some de-stressing activity. If they don't do, then the body wear and tear and they succumb to a lot of diseases very early. Because, see, you have to go to work because you need that. So other things you need to change. That's what I thought you should, I should convey to the general public.
Thank you so very much, Dr. Preeti. These are very important because sleep is something that we definitely take for granted.
It's a time when the body recoups, repairs wherever the damage has taken place. If that is not maintained, then your defense mechanism goes off.
Okay. So here, should we wait till we are really sleepy or should we have a time when we should go to bed? How should we condition ourselves to get a good...
You just compare yourself one day, like the number of hours you have slept at night, if it is from, suppose, from 11 to 5 or 11 to 6 in the morning, and the same, reverse it to the daytime. The freshness what you have during the sleep at night is not as much as what you have during the day. Because every body, every animal has a biological rhythm. How does a dog know it's his food time? He'll come to the master asking for food. So yeah, the biological rhythm is there. That you are reversing it. That's the reason why they give shift changes. Throughout the year, you will not work or for the night. That causes a lot of damage.
Thank you. Thank you. These are really insightful. And on that same note, Dr. Preeti, three life lessons that you'd like to leave us with.
I think I've given enough lessons throughout.
Three of your favorite life lessons that you follow all the time.
One is like, live for today, have a disciplined life. And sometimes you cannot pursue your passion only. You have to be very practical also. Many people now, they leave their lucrative professions to pursue some passions.
Yeah.
Whereas the family may suffer. If their responsibilities are more, the family will suffer.
Yes.
So you should try to balance both. And you should know when to pursue your passion. To my luck, this was my passion and that was my profession. Discipline, life, hard work. And you should not look back and regret on what you're doing. That's it.
Like always, simple, straightforward, and absolutely downright practical. Yes. Thank you so very much, Dr. Preeti, for this conversation.
And this will be more like all this Baba's conversation than medical conversation.
But you know what? That is the essence of a person who does not do what the rest do. When you want to try something different because of a passion, because of a calling, and you take that path like you did, Dr. Preeti, moving into a more road not taken journey for a woman of being a general surgeon, somewhere you also were risking a profession, but you took it head on and you saw that your intention was what saw you through. Honored to have had you on You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Completely, completely a pleasure reconnecting and continue to inspire Dr. Preeti. I'm sure there are so many people who look up to you. God bless you and just be who you are. Simple and beautiful. Thank you so very much for this.
Thank you, Rashmi. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. With that, we come to the end of this weekly quest of You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Do let us know if you know people who make the world beautiful. Write in to rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. That is rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. Come, let's explore this amazing world together, both you and I.